Welcome to the 91st installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Rock Dillaman, lead pastor at ACAC. After today's study, we'll be taking a brief break, and then, as I've shared with you before, relaunching our next 91-week journey through the Word after the first of the new year. This 91st week, our readings come from various Psalms, and like other portions of the Old Testament, the Psalms do not offer us frequent direct references to the Holy Spirit. But there is one of those references in this final week's readings. It's in Psalm 143. Now, the setting for the reference, as we've often seen, says something about the reference itself. And Psalm 143 has been rightfully described as a prayer because it begins, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And it's a prayer for deliverance and guidance. Deliverance and guidance. How appropriate that that's our final consideration of the work of the Holy Spirit for this reading period, because those are, as we have seen, two of the primary tasks of the Holy Spirit: to deliver us from evil. Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from evil." And the Holy Spirit is the one who does that by first making us aware of evil, including the evil within ourselves, and then pointing us to a better way, pointing us to a better way of addressing our fears, our needs, our insecurities, and so on. And then once he has delivered us from darkness into light, from death into life, from unbelief to faith, for the remainder of our life, the Holy Spirit guides us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for God's sake. So this final reference to the Holy Spirit has to do with that guidance. And the 10th verse says this: as David prayed, he called unto the Lord and said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." Now, let's pick this apart a little bit. First of all, teach me to do your will. That's the role and task of the Holy Spirit. When you read God's Word, which the Holy Spirit inspired, he's the one who shouts to you and attaches what you're reading to your daily experiences, to your current emotional state, to the problems that you're facing, to the temptations that you're battling. And through the Word, he teaches you what God's will is. But remember, we're not just to know God's will. As David prayed, we're to do God's will. And his actual request was not, "Lord, teach me your will." His request was, "Lord, teach me to do your will." Remember, Jesus once said to people who were using his name but not doing his will, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you do not do what I say?" Well, David understood there is not to be a gap between what we say and what we do. Both what we say and what we do are to align with God's heart, God's nature, God's will. So his prayer was, "Teach me to do your will." And again, because he mentions the Holy Spirit in this verse, he's letting us know the part the Holy Spirit plays in that. He not only reveals what our conduct should be, he teaches us how to actually embrace that conduct, to do what God wills. And he does that in a number of ways. He does that by giving us the courage to step out of our old practices and our old habits and walk in behavior patterns that we're not accustomed to, that are new to us. And because they're new to us, like an infant learning to walk, we inevitably stumble and fall and have to brush ourselves up and get back up again and go for it again, rather than saying after one or two efforts, well, I guess I'll never be able to walk. He gives us the courage to do God's will when it's a departure from everything we've ever known. He gives us confidence, his voice bearing witness to our spirit, that if we step out courageously to do God's will, we will not be disappointed. Again, we may initially stumble. We almost always do. You don't form godly habits overnight. But he gives us the confidence that if we persist, we will be very happy with the results. He teaches us to do God's will by continually reminding us that anything contrary to God's will, no matter what wrapper it presents itself in, will ultimately disappoint us. He teaches us to do God's will by affirming our steps in God's will through fruit, through effectiveness, through increased ministry, through greater peace, through greater influence. So it's the Spirit that teaches us to do God's will. And then David said, let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Now, if you're going to follow the Spirit's leading to level ground, you have to be convinced that he's good. You have to be convinced that what he is ordering for you is good, because he will lead you onto level ground. Notice level, not easy. Notice level, not problem-free. Level, not challenge-free. Level, not uncontested. Level, not always clear and obvious. And I could go on, but I think you get the idea. Level ground doesn't mean cruise control, unthinking, pothole-free, nobody pulling out in front of you, nobody swerving into your lane. No, it's level. It's level. Not problem-free, not challenge-free, not easy, not uncontested. What does level imply? Well, level ground is a place where you can keep your balance. We all know it's much easier to keep your balance walking on level ground. Whereas, in contrast, it's often difficult to keep your balance walking on unlevel ground. I love to fish. Those of you who know me know that. And I especially enjoy steelhead fishing in the streams that feed into Lake Erie, up near Erie, Pennsylvania. And at the time of this taping, I'm just 2 weeks away from my first steelhead excursion with my son to the streams of Erie. Well, if you've ever walked the streams that feed into Lake Erie, Walnut Creek, Elk Creek, 12 Mile Creek, 16 Mile Creek, 20 Mile Creek, and so on, the creek bed is level nowhere. The creek bed is made up of stones laid out, if you will, by nature in bric-a-brac fashion, as if some giant hand took a big bunch of stones and just scattered them. Every step is a challenge. I have to constantly use my polarized glasses to see where I'm about to place my foot. If the creek is muddy and I can't see beneath the surface of the water, I have to gingerly lift the foot with which I'm going to take my next step and tap around until I find a level place to put it down. And on more than one occasion, I have rather unceremoniously tumbled into the water. And that's why I wear chest waders and not just hip waders. And there have been a few occasions where I've even gone in above the chest waders, and that makes for a rather unpleasant day. But walking on unlevel ground is very, very difficult. Level ground is a place where you can keep your balance, where you aren't thrown left or right or backward or forward or onto your knees or onto your head. It's a place of balance. Level ground is also a place where you can stand firmly. Once again, using the trout stream analogy, it's hard to stand firmly anywhere because your feet are always somewhat out of balance. One foot is angled upward. The other foot may be in a hole or angled downward. One foot is right next to a jagged edge. The other is on a slippery, slime-covered stone. It's hard to stand firm on unlevel ground. If I were to walk up to somebody standing on perfectly level ground and give them a push in the chest, they'd probably be able to remain standing. But if I caught somebody standing on a very unlevel place in an awkward position, that same push against their chest might be enough to cause them to stumble and fall backward. So let your good spirit lead me, not on easy, challenge-free ground, but into a place where I'll be able to keep my balance and where I'll be able to stand firmly. That's level ground. And that's where the Holy Spirit will lead you if you're open to Him teaching you to do God's will. He'll lead you to a place where, despite the challenges, despite the opposition, despite the problems you're facing, you'll be able to keep your spiritual balance, you'll be able to keep your emotional balance, you'll be able to keep your intellectual balance, and you will be able to stand firm when all around you people are stumbling. So, this last session reminds us, in many ways, of everything we've learned throughout this 91 weeks. The Spirit of God has been sent to do you good. Whatever He orders for you will be good. May be unfamiliar and hard, but it will be good. And he will lead you by his voice and his word, and through others in the body of Christ, he will lead you onto a place that isn't easy. Following him is never easy in a contrary world, but where you'll be able to keep your balance and stand firmly, doing the will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. God bless you. Until we start our next 91-week journey, which we're going to entitle 91 Weeks of Transformation, follow the Spirit to level ground. God bless.